To another edition of the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach Ambassador Zachariah Todd Daniel. We're coming at you live and direct from the Embassy of Yisrael Ministries here in the beautiful, what they call the Four Corners regions in the Red Rocks of Sedona, Arizona, back here in Arizona. If you'd like to be a part of the broadcast, we're going to take calls in the second hour. But if you'd like to have your questions or comments read over the air via Instant Messenger, you can Instant Message us at the Yahoo Messenger Breach Mender, BREACHMENDER, Breach Mender, also breachmender at yahoo.com is the email. And we have a very special guest sometime in the second hour, Dan Yisrael, a prolific writer, author, and also a very good friend of ours. He has written a book, very, very impacting book, profound book, by the name of Christianity Unmasked. So you might want to stick around and stay tuned, and he'll be coming up later on, sometime in the second hour. Christianity Unmasked is the book, and we might even read some excerpts here after the break or so. If you'd like to be a part of the broadcast again, the second hour we're going to take calls, but if you'd like to get some comments in now on the instant message, Breach Mender is the instant message. We'll be right back after this short break. I'll be on live.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. the American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Back here on Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. You're tuned into the Repair the Breach broadcast. I've been on Repair the Breach. Zachariah, Todd, Daniel are also transmitting on the shortwave 11.918 through 11.920. And again, we're going to have a special guest in the second hour, also a good friend of ours, a prolific writer in Israel of Rhode Island. He's going to join us in the second hour. Again, a book that he wrote called Christianity Unmasked. It's over 300 pages. It's a real broad expose on Christianity. And what he does, he attempts to unmask it with the obvious. And he does a great job, I might add to that. He states here, actually, let me read the foreword and the cover and the backing. It says, concerning Christianity Unmasked, the book, An Informative, Controversial, and Enlightening Exposé of Christianity and Its Roots. Christianity Unmasked will undeniably change your perspective of Christianity and the doctrines you have been taught. Christianity Unmasked dares to broach two volatile subjects, religion and politics, exposing the hidden agenda between the politics of religion and the religion of politics. Christianity Unmasked reveals the frauds and deceptions that have been perpetrated against you by those you have trusted. A shocking expose that will most assuredly have an impact on every reader. And after reading this book, I without a doubt, was impacted, affected, no question about it. This book, as well as a few other books, have been probably this book and Come Out Over My People, and a few others like Fossilized Customs. There's just so many other prolific writers as well, but Dan Israel is definitely one of the most impacting writers of our time. Maybe you haven't heard of him much, but this book, when you read it, and he backs it up, documents it, crosses the T's, if you will, dots the I's. Let me read a little bit of it. In chapter one, it starts off, the title for chapter one is Understanding Deception, and he begins writing, "Before entering into a study of any topic addressing elements of truth, you must first understand deception in terms of what it is, how it works, and who employs it. We can compare the scriptures to a big puzzle of, let's say, 10,000 pieces. In essence, your purpose is to work on the puzzle and put it together. In this case, a major problem you must contend with is the lying pen of the scribes identified in Jeremiah 8, 8, and 9. Because the scriptures have been manipulated, the task is indeed made more difficult, which creates an obstacle for those who are not serious or will not attempt to search for themselves. It is this same difficulty, however, that will also serve to separate the sheep from the goats. Manipulation of scripture is accomplished through various methods. First, it's like discarding the cover of the puzzle, making it difficult for you to see the overall picture. Secondly, key pieces of the puzzle are removed, creating more difficulty in being able to identify primary elements. And thirdly, pieces from other puzzles are added that do not fit at all. This, in simple terms, is your starting point. A copy of Scripture can easily be identified in terms of its accuracy and authenticity simply by perusing the first few pages. Any copy of Scripture with punctuation in capital letters is not in harmony with the original and has therefore been subjected to the lying pen of the scribes. There are no capital letters or punctuation in the original writings. The word literally is one complete word encompassing all in its entirety. Additionally, words written in italics have been strategically placed in the translation to, quote-unquote, guide you to the understanding which the translators perceive to be correct. Words written in italics are not found in the original text. Read the preface of your Bible. It can be quite enlightening. In order to understand how effective the deception of the lying pen of the scribes can be, let us consider Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 22. It states, "My face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place, for the robbers shall enter into it and defile it." Examining this text, as it reads in most Bibles, we find the word place is written in italics. Most people, unaware that it does not appear in the original text, are unsuspectingly coerced into following the translator's leading suggestion that the word place relates to some specific location. However, if the word place is removed or not read, it relates not to a location at all, but to a secret that some would deliberately keep you from knowing. As you continue to read, we will help you to unmask Christianity so you can understand this important secret. Also, be sure to make the distinction between an edition that identifies itself as a translation as opposed to one that is paraphrased. A paraphrased edition is based on opinion and subsequently expanded as a story. Editorial license is used extensively in these editions. Another factor to keep in mind is that within the Hebrew language, the language of Scripture, there are many hidden elements, repetitive codes and symbolisms that cannot be translated or duplicated in any other language. They are literally lost in the translation. These obstacles are not to suggest that you don't have enough to work with to start the puzzle. You do. It's a big puzzle, but bearing this dilemma in mind, however, can serve to make you more aware of your limitations in terms of proper understanding. If you are serious about your study, don't be discouraged. The more you learn, the greater your capacity will be to evaluate, comprehend, and learn even more. Everybody starts with the basics. Sometimes you will find elements that fit perfectly, while at other times they won't fit at all or will be confusing. Remember, Scripture is not at fault. Perhaps the translators may be, or then again your perspective or understanding may be less than complete. Keep looking and searching. Weigh the evidence. When you find the right piece of the puzzle, you'll know. It will fit perfectly. Truth is definable. It is verifiable, and it's absolute. Deception, on the other hand, is not, but it must contain as much truth as possible to be effective. Yet it will always fail under close examination and scrutiny. Deception fails while truth prevails. Those who must shelter their opinions fearing critical examination are standing on weak ground. If honesty and truth are your choice, never be afraid to subject your beliefs to analysis. Doing so will either strengthen and confirm your position, or you will find a more truthful foundation on which to build. Both are invaluable benefits. If your belief system is accurate, you'll want to maintain it and share it. If it's not, why would you want it at all? Sharing something that's not true would make you an accomplice to those who deceive and control. That, my friend, is not the basis of the true faith. It is the basis of deception. A glass full of water with only a minute amount of arsenic is still poison. Those who are thirsty will drink from it without ever realizing the cost. Religion has been called the opiate of the masses and is extremely useful in controlling others who would not diligently search out or validate the truth for themselves. Keep your wits about you. Be aware and beware. Seek the facts and test the results. Consider for a moment that if there are 600 different denominations, bearing in mind that the Scriptures teach about unity and harmony, it is only logical there must be at least 599 in error, or possibly all 600. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, Romans 3:23. Could all really mean all? As you read through these pages, you will begin to see the distinction between truth and error unfold, and this text will then take on greater significance. If you use your own standard by which to judge yourself, you will never find yourself at fault. Only when we seek and subsequently learn to apply a higher standard to ourselves can we progress to higher goals. Truth promotes unity, which in turn creates and fosters harmony among the body of believers for the purpose of setting itself apart from those who would not believe. We'll be reading a little bit out of Dan Israel's book, Christianity in Mass. And we'll probably read some more because he's going to be our special guest in the second hour, so you'll learn a little bit more about this author and his writing. And definitely looking forward to anticipating this interview. So if you would stay tuned, we'll be right back here on Repair the Breach broadcast.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news, the much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion, if we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England, and the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, transmitting also on shortwave 11.918 through 11.920. And again, if you'd like to be part of the broadcast here in the first hour, doing the instant message. In the first hour, second hour, we'll take calls again with our special guest, Dan Israel, in the second hour. I'm going to continue reading. I'm going to go to chapter 4 now of his book, and the name of the chapter for chapter 4 was The Missing J, and this is on page 53, 54, thereabouts, in his book. And he goes on, and we're going to have him on in the second hour, and this is his book, Christianity and Mass, chapter 4, titled The Missing J. Because this issue is central to most Christian beliefs, we need to spend more time understanding the deception surrounding the name Jesus. There are many, many references that can attest to the deception on this issue. What is included in this chapter is only a small sampling. For your deeper understanding, we recommend your personal study and verification of the facts. As identified previously, the letter J is a recent addition to our language and is really only slightly older than America itself. It hasn't been around a very long time. Therefore, we can know for certain that our Savior's name could never have been Jesus, nor could our Heavenly Father's name have been Jehovah. The Greek hybrid name Iesus, I-E-S-O-U-S, from which the English word Jesus was created, references a completely different culture shift that is totally inappropriate and unacceptable. This culture shift leads us not only to Greek culture, but to paganism as well. The culture we must look to is Hebrew. When moving from one language to another, words are either translated or transliterated. Translation takes place when one language has an existing word that means exactly the same as the word being translated, such as the English word door and the French word port, P-O-R-T-E. It's a match. There is no confusion between the languages. Transliteration, on the other hand, is the process of duplicating the phonetic sound of a word from one language to another because there is no equivalent word in that language. An example is the ancient Hebrew word hallelujah to alleluia in Greek, or from H to A. There is no equivalent in Greek, as it is a Hebrew word giving glory to the Almighty. One can easily see how the word is duplicated as closely as possible in phonetic sound using the elements within that alphabet and language system. The Greeks had no word, no name, and no reference for this Hebrew deity called Yahweh. There is no question that the true and proper names of our Savior and Creator could have been transliterated properly in any phonetically based language. Many other Hebrew names were transliterated in Scripture. Why not this one, the most important name of all? It was simply hidden so that another could appear in his place. It is interesting to note that there was an idol or a god in the Greek culture named Isis, E-S-U-S, which was a reference to Zeus. Isis is depicted as a woodcutter. Human sacrifices were cruelly offered to him by nailing him to a tree. Does this sound familiar? I might add to that, folks. Isis, E-S-U-S, was also a druid deity that was a bull-faced, pagan, four-footed, unclean beast, and it was actually pronounced Isis, E-S-U-S. So if the letter J is not even 400 or 500 years old, put the letter J on E-S-U-S, you have the same deity. But it also, he mentions, was a reference to Zeus. By the way, Zeus was a half-horse, half-man, a centaur in Greek mythology, and Zeus in Hebrew, in Strong's number 5483, the closest thing Jesus could mean in Hebrew, to transliterate, since that's the subject matter he's covering here, the closest thing Jesus or Zeus could mean in Hebrew is horse. And if Zeus was a half-horse, half-man, I kind of have to believe that the Father was trying to warn us in Romans 1:20 that this was going to happen, how they were going to, they being the controllers of translations and so forth, would allow, they would change the glory of the uncorruptible Almighty into an image made like to a corruptible man, then to a four-footed beast. In reference to him, unbeknownst to the masses, many would be sincerely attempting to pray or seek the Father, but yet the damage had already been done because of the names had been changed. The name had been changed to deceive the innocent, to control the masses, to be in a universal one-world religion. Anyhow, I'll continue on reading in Dan Israel's book, page 54. Let me finish this again. It states, it is interesting to note that there was a Greek god in the Greek culture named Isis, which was a reference to Zeus. Isis is depicted as a woodcutter. Human sacrifices were cruelly offered to him by nailing them to the tree. Does this sound familiar? He goes on to say, as identified in the previous chapter, I-A-S-O, or I-E-S-O, Yeso and Yesu, was changed by the addition of U-S, the letters U-S, creating Yesu. It is well known that the Greek names ending in S-U-S, S-E-U-S, and S-O-U-S, pronounced Zeus, were attached to give honor to pay homage to their deity Zeus. And with that, we'll continue on to take a break here on the RBNLive.com Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned, we've got much more to cover.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Here on the Repair the Breach broadcast on rbnlive.com, also on the shortwave of 0.918 through 11.920. If you'd like to get a copy of Dan Israel's book that we've been reading out of today, you can get a hold of him two different ways, through the telephone, 401-723-3330. Again, Dan Israel, SOS Press Ministries, 401-723-3330, and again, he's going to be joining us. His email also is sospress@hotmail.com. That's SOS like help, sospress@hotmail.com, sospress@hotmail.com. And we'll continue on here. We're on page 54, about the third paragraph down. He states that it is well known that Greek names ending in S-U-S, S-E-U-S, and S-O-U-S, pronounced Zeus, were attached to give honor to their deity, Zeus. The sacred mountain in Greece was named Parnassus, which is spelled P-A-R-N-A-S-S-U-S, Parnassus, the Greek deity of wine. One of Zeus's sons was named Dionysus, D-I-O-N-S, or D-I-O-N-Y-S-U-S. Another of Zeus's sons was Perseus, P-E-R-S-E-U-S, and the Greek hero of the Trojan War was Odysseus, O-D-Y-S-S-E-U-S, Ulysses in Latin, Odysseus in Greek was the Trojan War hero for the Greeks, but in Latin they called him Ulysses, U-L-Y-S-S-E-S, I mean S-E-S in Latin. Also the Greek deity of healing was Iesus, it's spelled I-E-U-S-U-S. Another variant spelling of Jesus, I-E-S-O-U-S, or Jesus. And the footnotes are aplenty, so for those that need more literary sources in this book, he jam-packs full of the quotes of this information so you can research and verify the documentation that is indeed authentic. So he continues on, second to last paragraph on page 54, Christianity and Mass. Let's put on our thinking caps again to look at the concepts that are being taught, and yet more deception will become evident. Most churches will say, quote, unquote, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. But think, is that what it's really about? Let's assume for a moment that there was a man called Jesus. Did he save himself or did someone else save him? If someone else saved him, then wouldn't it only be wise for us to seek the Savior in lieu of the one who had been saved? As we identified, the name Jesus is a misnomer and will lead us astray from the truth, denying us a fuller and more complete understanding. Let's look at still more identifying marks and analyze them. We are told by Scripture that, quote unquote, I and my Father are one, John 10:30. If you have seen, you have seen the Father, John 14:10. I am come in my Father's name, John 5:43. In Acts 4:12, it states there is only one name under heaven by which you must be saved. All the above texts of Scripture and others must be in perfect alignment for truth to be manifested. They must fit like a hand in a glove. If we are to research and align various elements to find marks of error and deception, we must use the same process to find the identifying marks of truth. The name Jesus just doesn't fit the above text. It is completely erroneous and out of place. Wake up, folks. Think. Understand the difference. Now, if you look at the book of Revelation, you will find that we refer to as, or what we refer to as, the shortest study of all of Scripture. It's found in chapter 19. It refers to a time when everything is finished, everything is said and done, and justice has been meted out. What is identified in the first six verses is astounding. Who gets the glory? Who gets the praise? Is it Jesus? Is he the Savior? Alleluia is used in the Scriptures only four times. It shows up in the same chapter within a short space of six verses in the New Testament. He's referring to the A-L-L-E-L-U-I-A spelling of Alleluia. These verses speak of glory given to the King of Kings as he rules in justice with the complete destruction of the wicked. Alleluia, 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 Revelation 19, 1-6. It is exclaimed four consecutive times over and over again. Four times in only six verses, and it is the only place the word is used in all of the New Testament. So the word Alleluia comes from the Hebrew word Hallelujah, or Hallelujah, which means praise ye Yah, or give praise to Yahweh. Yah is the short form of the word Yahweh, which is the name of our Father. If, as churches claim, Jesus, quote unquote, Jesus saves, why wouldn't Jesus get the glory? Why would it go to someone else? But that's not the real story, is it? The name Jesus does not lead to the Father. To the contrary, it's a dead end. The name Jesus quietly and subtly leads to the denial of the Father, Yahweh, a masterful deception. As we have identified, the texts of Scripture are the guides for proof. If we earnestly study them, we can understand the alignment and harmony that exists. Now, continue on here in chapter number 3. The title is called Priests, Prostitutes, and the Jesus Syndrome. priests and prostitutes are both found in the dictionary under the letter P, but that isn't all they have in common. In all fairness, we should expand our discussion not only to include priests, but also pastors, ministers, and rabbis as well. In the old days of pagan worship, temple prostitutes rendered services as necessary to please and comfort. Although socially unacceptable today, perversions within the clergy haven't changed much at all. They put on a smiling mask and a black robe, making themselves publicly acceptable while they continue to have the pedophile rings and porno operations from the back door. There is nothing new under the sun. Sun worship, with all its grandeur and attendant factors, is still alive and well. It is just more cleverly disguised, masquerading as Christianity. Scripture informs us about the great harlot, Mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots and her many daughters. How can we rightfully identify her? Let's consider the lifestyle of a prostitute or a harlot and compare the results. Doesn't she turn away from her husband, who would protect and care for her, giving her attention to others? Because of her promiscuity, specific characteristics, traits can be identified in her offspring, as they generally develop dysfunctional disorders, spiraling them into an abyss of immorality. Although the children have a yearning desire for comfort and unity, they will typically follow the pattern and lifestyle to which they have been accustomed and have been taught. The love they seek is not available from their mother, and the love of their father is not known to them. How could they possibly know their father when there are so many who could be? Yes, sadly enough, today's religion is truly Rhea Legion, complete with Ma Re, M-A-R-E-A, rich with pagan rituals and philosophies and bankrupt of truth. Whether or not you go to church will not determine how many merits or demerits you get in eternity or in heaven. It's the truth of law that matters, along with your acceptance and compliance to it. It is that same law that will be used to judge us, the supreme law. Although Scripture does recommend that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, but so much the more as you see the day approaching in Hebrews 10:25, it also advises us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14, and not to follow a multitude to do evil, Exodus 23:2. Fellowship is encouraged, but it is encouraged only with true believers, thus creating a strengthening effect through mutual support. To follow a multitude in religions based in rituals and paganism is not acceptable worship in the least. Because a harlot turns away from her husband, her offspring will not know the father. Using this fact as a simple analogy, let's test the effectiveness of church teachings you are familiar with. Most everyone knows the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is the prayer our Savior prayed, the prayer he taught us to pray. It gives special significance to the Father's name, our Father's name. The prayer teaches us to seek his direction and to conform to his will on earth as it is done in heaven. If you claim to be a Christian and have been baptized, you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son. Well, that's the general consensus I might just throw in. Here's a question. What are the names of the Father and Son? Simple question, isn't it? If it's so simple, why is it so difficult for most people to answer? Find out for yourself. Ask someone the question. You'll be surprised to find out how simple it isn't and how effectively most have been deceived. Anyone who has been properly baptized can easily answer this question. It is also a question that is asked by Scripture in the form of a riddle found in Proverbs 30 and verse 4. It asks, who holds the wind in his fist? Who sets the bounds of the waters? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? And we've touched on this Scripture in the past on this broadcast. And in Proverbs 30 and 4, that riddle is specifically asking for one name for all the answers to the questions. And without a doubt, the name of the Father is Yahweh. The name of the Son is Yahweh, because the Father was manifest in the flesh as the Son, because he said he came in the Father's name. And when you've seen him, you're seeing the Father, who is invisible, that no man has seen, that is now visibly manifested as the Son. He goes on to say here, Dan Israel, reading out of his book, Christianity in Mass. And I want to say this here, failed to mention earlier. Folks, I know this sounds too hard to believe for the majority to even consider, and we're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or trying to sound sacrilegious. We're trying to speak the truth in love and to uncover deception so that we can repair the breach and do what the Father called us all to do, and that is to strive for the mastery lawfully, like Paul told Timothy. We're going to follow the Messiah, follow eternal life, and we need to follow it scripturally and lawfully. We're not attacking the inspiration of Scripture. We're attacking the translations of men, and that's what basically we're told to do, is to test all things, to prove all things here in the Renewed Covenant. In fact, in Isaiah 52:6, it says, "My people shall know my name." And so Dan Israel continues to write on page 45, "My people shall know my name." He quotes Isaiah 52:6. This statement is emphatic. It doesn't mean maybe. It doesn't mean perhaps. There is no question. It is an identifying mark of his people. They shall know his name. There is only one name, singular, under heaven, by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12, only one. Also see Romans 10:13 and Joel chapter 2, verse 32. That name, folks, is the name of Yahweh. In Zechariah 14:9, it states, "In that day," speaking of the end time, last day, "there shall be one Yahweh, and his name the only name," or his name one. Okay. Chapter 3 on page 46 out of Christianity and Mass, written by Dan Israel, he states, "If you were to have a personal relationship with someone, anyone, wouldn't you know their name? And as the relationship deepened, wouldn't you learn more and more about them? Then how can it be that so few know the name of our Heavenly Father, yet claim to have a personal relationship with him? Are they that far removed from the truth? Have they been that badly deceived?" Sorry to say, the answer is yes, they have. The lying pen of the scribes in Jeremiah 8:8-9 and the deceptive practices of false shepherds, pronounced clergy, have been most effective. And with that, I'll just also read Jeremiah 16:19 through 21. It states, "O Yahweh, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge, in the day of distress, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say," now notice this, the Gentiles, you know, this is not a Jewish thing that we're promoting here, folks. The Gentiles are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the reason why they're lost is because they don't realize their Israelite background, okay? Ephraim has mixed himself with the nations. Another name for Israel is Ephraim in Hosea 7:8. And so the mystery of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles that we've touched on this broadcast many times, is that they have lost their identity because they've been intermingled with every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, that being Israelites. And hence they've lost their identity now as Gentiles because that's the culture that's all they've been raised to be believing they are. And that's what they're experiencing, obviously. But nevertheless, the Father's saying, "Come out of her, my people. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Come back to the covenant he gave, the marriage covenant to Israel." And he came in the flesh to die because he divorced her in the first covenant. And then when a woman is bound to her husband so long as she liveth, as he liveth. But if he die, okay, she's free to marry another. And so when he died for us, he chose us again. And that's the beautiful story of redemption, restoration, and renewing. He didn't come to start another religion. He said, "No, I'm going to renew the covenant. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to repurchase you. I'm going to marry you again because I died for you. Now I can take you back lawfully back to myself," because he's not a spiritual adulterer. So it finishes the point here, the text in Jeremiah 16. It says, "The Gentiles shall come to you." Now this is the end time scenario. "The Gentiles shall come to you, Yahweh, from the ends of the earth." And they're going to say, the Gentiles are going to say, "Our fathers have inherited only falsehood, futility, and there is no value in them," or deception, reading out of the scriptures. Would a man make mighty ones for himself which are not mighty ones? Verse 21, chapter 16 of Jeremiah. Therefore, see, I am causing them to know this time. I cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh. Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, four Hebrew letters of Yahweh's name. He's saying the Gentiles in the end time, they're going to say, we've inherited lies from our fathers. And the Father's saying, I'm going to cause them to once to know that my hand, the power of my hand, the power of my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh. That's what's happening, folks. You're living in the greatest time. You're living in the end time. You're living in the age of restoration. You're living in the age of restitution. Keep on keeping on. We'll be right back here on the Repair the Breach broadcast. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Last dream.
we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBNLive.com, broadcasting on also on the shortwave band 11.918 through 11.920. And that was Poker Face, pokerface.com. And y'all willing, they should be coming out to Austin hopefully in another month or so, whenever everything gets put together. We're definitely looking forward to seeing Paul Tepeti and his band Poker Face. Pokerface.com, come out and put on a concert there in the Austin area. And so hopefully that'll come to fruition shortly. So anyhow, stay tuned for more information on that. But here in the second hour, coming up shortly, we're going to have Dan Israel, a prolific writer, author, and also a minister. He wrote a book, a very impacting book, Christianity Unmasked. And if you'd like to get a copy of that book, you can reach him two ways. By phone, you can reach him at 401-723-3330. Again, that's 401-723-3330. And you can reach him at email. Email him at sospress@hotmail.com. That's S-O-S-P-R-E-S-S at hotmail.com. And we're reading out of his book, Christianity Unmasked, on page 46 on chapter 3, he quotes Jeremiah 8 and 9, which I quoted out of Jeremiah 16 right before the break, where the Gentiles come to the revelation of their father's name. And they go back to the father's name, Yahweh, in the end time. Yahweh says, I'm going to cause them to know this. And chapter 8 of Jeremiah says that the lying pen of the scribes have dealt this falsehood. Many people would say that there's no way there could be any errors in the Bible. But we've stated before this, and we'll probably state it again here. How come the word Bible is not in the Bible? Ever wonder why? Think about it. How come the word Bible is not in your Bible? If it's not there, why was it put there on the cover in the first place? It's the scriptures. It's the word of Yahweh. And you know, there's so many deceptions, and we're just repairing the breach like he commanded us to do in Isaiah, Yeshayah 58:12, to rear up foundations of old, to make crooked places straight. And what we're trying to do, and by the help of Yah, we'll continue to do. And stay tuned, though. Second hour, we're going to invite your calls, 800-313-9443. And I guess 15, 20 minutes, we'll be having our special guest, Dan Israel, the prolific writer, author of Christianity Unmasked. So if you want to give a call in now, you're more welcome to do that. 800-313-9443. And we'll bring on your calls in the second hour. 800-313-9443. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. A short break.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN Live.